Blog Talk Radio.
You can't change me, cause I'm people, I'm
fuck a cop, hip hop. Make your head bob, bounce to this socialist movement. My environment made me the nigga I am. Uncle Sam came and got me and the rest of my fam. Try to infiltrate and murder off the best of my clan. I'm not American, punk Democrat or Republican, remember that. Most of the cats we know be hustling. My mama worked all her life and still struggling. I blame it on the government and say it on the radio. And if you don't already know, all these Uncle Tom ass kissing niggas got to go.
Our African brothers have gained their independence faster than you and I here in America have. They've also gained recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now or we don't think anybody should have it.
Inside my DNA, cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, with Yoshi, you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tires skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Probably offend you, this is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And as a rip, gonna plead this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans and race in recent
years. I live
about
my DNA. This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power that make it emeritus. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, but DNA an abomination. This how it is when you in the matrix, out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar, sipping from a Grammy, parking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floor, features out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, Godfather calls, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras, eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals, yoga on a Monday, stretching in the blender, watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never own. I don't camera stakes, I don't compromise. I just penetrate, sex, money, murder. These are the breaks, these are the times. Level number 9, look up in the sky. Tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way. Motherfucker, I got winners on the way. You ain't shit without a buddy on your belt. You ain't shit without a ticket on your plate. You ain't sick enough to pull it on yourself. You ain't rich enough to hit the light of day. Tell me when destruction gonna be my fate. Gonna be a fake, gonna be a fake. Peace to the world, let it rotate. Sex, money, murder, I do.
Tupac Shakur. is a child of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, born out of the spirit of the revolution of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, fire in his bones. Huh? Boldness and rebellion in his blood. Born from his beautiful, bold Black Panther mama, Afeni. Sitting in the jail cell, a revolutionary woman carrying the fruit of life. Mocking the child in her womb. Mocking the child with rebellion. Mocking the child with insurrection. Mocking the child with a spirit to not go along with what's been going on. When you got a generation like that, you've got to work with them. You've got to mold them and shape them and fashion them.
To our program for the future.
Economy right now. It's extremely supporting of the president and his policies.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause I'm from Sam. Got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the group is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley got me cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew we had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't want no computer chip in my arm. I don't want to die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God. Out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving. The same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership. Different position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? The big corporations, the pigs or the media? Sign of the time. Terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplane falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown. Who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found? It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics. But it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core. Cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew we had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew we had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda. KKK, IRS, PNC,
IRS, TNT, CBS, NBC.
Great love and a great understanding, and that we try to extend this to the general black population and also people, oppressed people all over the world. And I think that we differ from some other groups simply because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempt to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forts supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away monster balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straightened heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit.
Liberation of oppressed people in the United States has to do not with climbing up some ladder to success, not for asking to be just like Rockefeller or just like DuPont or just like Ford, because that would only continue the oppression and exploitation of oppressed people in the United States, and specifically African people born and raised in the United States. Socialism is an integral part of building social justice on this planet. The condition of my people, my history, was very much connected with other oppressed people, and I began to see that they're the same foot that was on the necks of the Vietnamese people, that was on the necks of all oppressed people on the planet, was the same foot that was on my neck. And so I began to understand that imperialism has to go. It is a poison that is killing people all over this world. The priorities of this planet have to be completely changed. And instead of profits, instead of policies that destroy the earth, that destroy the water, that destroy human beings, I believe a policy that protects people, that makes people live in a community, a world community. That's what I believe. That's my basic political commitment.
When we talk about capitalism, who are the capitalists? As if we understand that there are only a few people who own and control the means of production in the society, then we begin to understand that there are a few capitalists. And these capitalists exploit everybody because everybody works for them. Everybody sells their labor to them. It is by selling your labor to a capitalist that he's really able to exploit you. Instead of going through theories, let me give some direct example. Let's say that I'm a capitalist. And let's say that I sell shirts. I have a shirt factory. Let's say this is my factory. I own it. The machinery. I have a place where I get cotton. Now, I own it. I'm the capitalist. And let's say you are my workers. You are my workers. You don't know me. You never see me. You see my lackeys, you know, maybe my foreman, but you never see me. Now, let's say it costs me 50 cents for cotton for every shirt I make. And let's say it costs me 50 cents for upkeep of my machinery. That's a dollar. And let's suppose I pay you a dollar for every shirt you make. That means it costs me $2 to get a shirt, labor included, your labor. I pay you for making the shirt. Now, when I sell the shirt, being a capitalist, and you must know something about capitalism, very important, the sole motivating force in a capitalist society is profit. Profit. That is the sole motivating force. Profit. Get money. Get it. Get it as fast as you can. Get it any way you can, but get it. Just get it. Just get it. And even in the African community, it affects us here in this country because Africans, those of us living in America, those of us born in America, we are imbued with the philosophy of capitalism, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. Thus, you find brothers and sisters even selling dope to their brothers and sisters to make money. Again, because we're imbued with the philosophy of get some money. Ain't nothing wrong to kill for money. Hell, your country is napalming for money. You can certainly kill for some money. All right, just get it. Just get it. It's the overall philosophy. When we talk about revolution, we must talk about changing values. We must talk about changing values, and we must understand these values. To the shirt factory. I've not forgotten. I'm just going to tie it in. I'll tie it in for you. I'll tie it in. You will see, you must look under the shirt factory, too. You must look for spiraling economy. That's very important, spiraling economy. I sell the shirt for $5. I sell the shirt for $5. I don't do anything. You're the one who makes the shirt. I'm exploiting your labor. You toil, you sweat, I get the fruit. That's right, I get it. But you grow it, you plant it by the sweat of your brow. I get it. I sell the shirt for $5. I am exploiting your labor. I really am exploiting your labor. I mean, even when you want a shirt, hey, you got to come to my store and buy the shirt for $5. Hey, I really am exploiting you. Now, you're workers, you're in a factory, so you begin to get social consciousness. Yes, you do. Marx talks about this. Because you're working together, you see the socialized process, the laboring process, and you're able to see clearly how you're being exploited. So you get together, and you start talking about, we want more money. So you tell my foreman we want more money. So the foreman comes to see me. He says, the workers say they want more money. Later for them. Keep them working, man. So he comes back, no raise. They all work, but you all get a little bit more agitated, you know, because it's scientific. The pressure rises, and as the pressure rises, the consciousness must rise. It's scientific. It can't be stopped. That's why revolution can't be stopped. Then you say, hey, look here. We're going to strike. So the foreman comes back and says, hey, they say they're going to strike. I say, oh, let them strike, man. And sure enough, y'all strike. Yeah, y'all strike on me. Now, when you strike, of course, my machinery stops. I ain't making no money. So after a while, I call my foreman. I said, what do they want? He says, well, they said they want $1.50 more a shirt. They want 50 cents more a shirt. So I said, okay, let them have it. So I'll bring you back. You happy? I pay you $1.50 more. Right. So it now costs me $2.50 to make a shirt. It costs me $2.50 to make a shirt. Before, it cost me $2. I was selling it for $5. But hey, look here. I can't go out there and keep selling it for $5. Hey, how am I going to do that? I'm going to lose profit. And look here. Since the sole motivating force in a capitalist system is profit, ain't no need for me to come and sell it for $5.50. Hey, no. Next time you see that shirt on the market, it's going to cost you $7.50.
Right, right.
And that's what's known as the spiraling economy, because profit is what about wages go up into demands of the workers and prices rocket. Wages go up, prices rocket. And it keeps going and going and going until it's got to blow the top. It's scientifically real. That's why Nixon is talking about freezing wages and freezing prices. He's stupid. You got to freeze capitalism, Nixon. Freeze capitalism. That's the problem. That's the problem. Yes, that's the problem. You must understand these concepts, because once you begin to understand them and master them, you will see the inevitability of revolution. Not only the inevitability of revolution, but you will see the inevitability of victory for the struggling masses around the world once you understand the scientific principles of revolution. Once you understand
it. The Black Panther Party, that they can do anything they want to do. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the pastors are doing. That's what the pastors are doing all over the world.
As I get a little older, I realize life is perspective. And my perspective may differ from yours. I want to say thank you to everyone that's been down with me. All my fans, all my beautiful fans. Anyone who's ever gave me a listen. All my people.
I come from a generation of pain where murder is minor. Rebellious and more jealous, I chip you for designer. Belt buckles and clout overzealous and prone to violence. Make the wrong turn, be your will of the will alignment. Residue burn, mist at the inner city. Miscommunication to keep homo detector busy. No protection is risky, desensitized, I vandalize pain. Covered up and camouflage, get used to hearing arsenal rain. Analyze, risk your life, take the charge. Homies, don't fuck your baby mama once you hit the yard. That's culture, 23-hour lockdown. Then somebody calls that your little nephew was shot down. The culture involved. I done seen niggas do 17, hit the halfway house, get out and get his brains blown out, looking to buy some weed, car washes played out, new GoFundMe account to proceed, a brand new victim, a shatter those dreams, the culture. To let y'all know what a nigga look like in a bulletproof rover. In my mama's sofa was a doodle popper. Hair trigger, walk up closer. Ain't no photoshopping. Friends bipolar, grab you by your pocket. No option if you froze up, always play the offense. Niggas going to work and selling work, late for work. Working late, praying for work, but he on paperwork. That's the culture, point the finger, promote ya. Remote location, witness protection, they gon' hold ya. The streets got me fucked up, y'all can miss me. I wanna represent for us. New revolution was up and moving. I'm in Argentina wiping my tears, full of confusion. Water in between us, another peer's been executed. History repeats again, make amends and find a nigga with the same skin to do it. But that's the culture, crack a bottle. Hard to deal with the pain when you're sober. By tomorrow, we forget the remains, we start over. That's the problem, our foundation was trained to accept whatever follows. Dehumanized, insensitive, scrutinized, the way we live for you and I. Enemy shook my hand, I can promise I'll meet you. In a land where no equal is your equal, never say I ain't told ya. Nah, in a land where hurt people hurt more people, fuck calling it culture.
Drums out.
celebrate new life when they come back around. The purpose.
To understand this.
Black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People weekly, Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern with your host, People's Political Party National Chairman Nat Turner and co-host myself, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland. And your engineer, our engineers on the ones and twos, National Minister of Communication, Sister Amina, calling each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic having a problem. That was true. Have tonight's topic, war report from behind enemy lines. We're going to open up our phone lines to our national chair, Brother Nat Turner. Can you hear me, comrade? You're who ruined Black
Yes,
Father.
Sir. Yes, sir. Sure can hear you, brother. Right on. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, man, Black Cloud. And all power to the people in general, you know, black and brown people, non-whites particularly. Well, went through the most extreme forms of oppression, race, class, and for the female sector, you know, different forms of anti treatment and anti women oppression, you know, there's various manifestations. What they refer to as sexism overall, you know. Yeah, tonight our topic basically, you know, deriving from recent episodes on the murder conviction for one of our little comrades, who's known to us as Hannibal Rushdie. Or some refer to her, pronounce it Rushdie, whose government name is being held captive. And we're very strategic, very methodical in the expressions and terminology that we use. We can never give the state any comfort in using the common vernacular that they have applied to so-called prisoners who have been charged with crimes under their so-called laws. In general, we're all doing time here in America, black people. There are those who would disagree, who would deny it. And of course, based on certain statuses within society, those who have been allowed access to material luxury, to material comfort, the finer things in life, providing that they don't buck against the system, provided that they behave, be law-abiding citizens. These are the terms that have been used back in the 60s, that they referred to as responsible Negroes. Basically become a class issue. There's a class antagonism, class structure. I mean, part of the structure that revolves around classism internalized classism based off of the system of capitalism, which pits people against themselves for the sole benefit of the white ruling class, the super rich, the rich, and their buffer class, referred to as a so-called middle class. We see it as a political relationship, see it as a political ramifications, which therefore is based on inherent contradictions that black people in this country could never receive a fair shake in reality, as opposed to this utopian imagery or ideal of equality as Americans. The capitalists don't change unless that change also benefits them and keeps the structure intact. And I say all that to say this, that it would only be inevitable that there will be political prisoners in this country. And as a result of that, as we know, one thing leads to the next. So we've learned from those that come before us, politicized, politically conscious, referred to the goings on behind the wall, labeled it as a war report. And after all, it is war. We don't look at the usual orthodox understanding of what war is. We have learned that from day one, that when our ancestors were ripped apart from the motherland, that was the beginning of the war on African people, and to be transported here and made to be servile labor, free labor, a laboring class that worked from can't see in the morning to can't see at night, and that they had a material value in the eyes of the capitalists in their brokerage system, their stock system, what is now known as the Wall Street Gang, in its daily trade of commodities of value. And it was solely because of that that the Africans were not subjected to the type of treatment today. And what I mean by that, strictly from a capitalist perspective, in terms of value and wealth, the so-called slaves lost their value when the physical slavery system was shut down in some so-called industrial revolution. And there was never any intent to so-called free the slaves. This lie, the bullshit that has been spewed in the various forms of media about some civil war that was over the slaves. It was no more than two groups of capitalists who were settling their differences in terms of ideology, in terms of how to keep things moving, because they never really skipped a beat. And so we lost value as a result of that. Of course, the racism had always been present. It escalated. It became even more sophisticated. In time, very form of sophisticated racism that unfortunately a lot of our people are not able to pick up. You know what I'm saying? So we connecting the dots. You know, the always paired to the gives type of system, type of understand a clear historical analysis from a perspective of history, as Malcolm X had taught us, or was attempting to teach our people collectively. You know, so the 50s, the 60s, these contradictions had really come to surface on the part of certain organizations, certain formations who had declared the revolutionary approach to change in society as opposed to relying overall or solely on reform. And the liberalism no more, no less than putting the Band-Aid on a gaping wound. Any sane, rational-minded person who naturally would unfortunately, you know, injure him or herself where, you know, their skin, you know, had become ruptured, you know, would see what is now referred to as stitches, you know, would have healed that wound. You know what I'm saying? So we try to paint a clear picture. Not assuming all the time, most of the time, that people naturally understand terminology, words they're referring to. But it's only inevitable that the state would become the reactionary force that it was then and that it is now, and make its move to repress those who have been oppressed, those who have become conscious of themselves and conscious of their conditions to bring about a complete constructive change. As the great Dekai Abdul Muhammad used to say sometimes, you know, when he describing revolution, defining or definition, complete constructive change. So due to that, what we have today is political prisoners. We'll try to, you know, give some, you know, OGs who have been held as political prisoners since the late 60s, or early 70s. Certain cases have become high-profile cases, not only here or in America, but around the world. Let me say this about high profile. Due to certain types of coverage or certain types of actions, certain cities that have been historically recognized over others, and it is solely because of that that the brothers and sisters who have been terrorized by the state under its FBI branch, the counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO for short. And so this is why some of these cases have received more attention than others. And, you know, today, you know, the Black Panther Party influence modern times and modern persons, Black people who have attempted following the footsteps of the Black Panther Party specifically, and the attitude, the whole shot, the whole nine, you know, and the evolution of the new Black Panther Party and its transformations over the years since the late 90s, early 2000s. And in the midst of that, as a boy at the time, whose mother had pretty much turned him over, you know, to the struggle, to the Black revolutionary struggle. And growing up, you know, as a teenager, like, you know, naturally, you know, teenagers do, but in a militant state of mind, and had been convicted of a murder. He's been held captive. We refer to as POW for at least 10 years. Had been put in such a situation to be manipulated and taken advantage of. And I don't say that lightly. It may be another way to describe it, but this is the usual. There's no isolated case. These are things that normally happen. You know, psychologists, people, psychiatrists will not know this. They'll you know, explain the whole process about when someone's under duress, with their face and when they're being subjected to something and they're not fully cognizant of what they're doing at that time. And this has become a strategy on the part of the state to get convictions, using certain fear tactics to hurry coerce confession. And this is the situation that Brother Hannibal has found himself in. Murder charge, you know, the whole shot, forensics, fingerprints, you know, and whatnot. I mean, even surveillance video, they have virtually nothing. And so we've taken his case and place it in the political prisoner category. There may be some New York, what have you, who are, what I may say personally, may be terribly misguided due to the circumstances of public persecution and the power of the media, the propaganda of this corporate controlled media. And so this young brother, young warrior, had been formally turned over to Clinton concentration camp, I believe is in Dannemora, New York. And what we mean, we say, why do we say concentration camp, and even why we say POW? Again, because the similar types of captivity are based on politics, such as these proxy wars that have been carried out by this regime, this government around the world. Created scenarios of prisoners of war, and the Europeans have tried to make it a monopoly on what is defined as a POW. In other words, if there's a POW, then that POW has to be white and he has to be American. In order for that to be recognized and acknowledged, not only here in this country, but around the world. And so we understand that this system has done more damage in these recent decades than any other country around the world, and the created conditions whereby POWs have been created. And so the hypocrisy on the part of America to accuse other countries of having POWs
went in their own backyard. They have their own POWs who were not recognized at the UN, the so-called international body that has, of course, these so-called laws or what have you in recognition of prisoners of war. And this is one thing that certain forces within the black community have strived in the process from that perspective that Malcolm X had taught us about, you know, the international stage, internationalizing the struggle of black people in America and connecting that struggle with the other black liberation struggles in other parts of the world, or black and brown people in general, non-whites. And that's very vital. And so when Hannibal was in Clinton, he'd experienced an episode there. And we don't believe it's coincidence that he had come under attack from another so-called inmate. Because at one point, a few years ago, the two white boys had escaped from Clinton, and the pig guards had went on a rampage, and they had brutalized a number of POWs there. And for the record, we also believe there's two types of POWs: politicized POWs and unpoliticized POWs, prisoners of conscience, and unpoliticized prisoners. And so as a result of that, Hannibal been targeted to a certain extent. The type of tactics that have been used lead to suicide. Or these strategies that have been used as psychological warfare methods that have been used on certain POWs in order to get them to harm themselves or to give the appearance that one, you know, is a threat to himself. And that is the sole reason that they will use the excuse to murder him. This is political vendettas due to certain type of attitude, unlike we could say the average brother or sister being part of a revolutionary organization in New York before he had become a political prisoner. In that episode from Clinton, he had been moved to refer to as Sing Sing. And these two concentration camps, as a matter of fact, you know, have a history. The infamous Sing Sing, you know, in New York. And he had been there for a number of years. And his consciousness, his experience behind the war, become escalated, so much so that the prison guards, you know, goon squad, as a matter of fact, had been brought in to brutalize Hannibal some months ago. And we, those of us, had been part of the campaign to get him out of there. We made enough noise for it to become an investigation. In other words, to prevent it from becoming an isolated case. And these are the types of things, these are the preliminary things the page will do in the process of wanting to murder you at some point. You know. So a number of things have transpired there in Sing Sing. Yeah, episode or two there. So-called inmate who had never seen in his life, had never come across or never interacted with, never got into any verbal nor physical altercation with, decided one day that he wanted to bring some type of physical harm to the young brother. And he was able to defend himself. And these are the type of tactics, the type of things that, you know, you could be subjected to. And the reality is you could become almost totally vulnerable, if not totally vulnerable, you know, to, you know, those who run the facility. Once, you know, you have been held captive behind cement and steel, you know, isolated from the larger society, the outer world. And this is why it's been very important that he be able to communicate with his mother on a daily basis, a daily routine of communication. You know, and this becomes protocol, this becomes strategy. You know, routine visits on the part of his mother and those others who, you know, as a result of living in New York, you know, much closer to him than other persons around the country. And so what's a number of things? Of course, educating, you know, the unpoliticized. And this is nothing new. This is along the same type of thing that has been done in the past. The one person that would come to mind that would be George Jackson, who had been given a one-to-life sentence on a $70 gas station robbery. But as he, you know, was doing his bid behind the wall, he had become politically conscious. And as a result of that, he had become what some would say the most feared prisoner, POW, in the United States prison system. And him and some comrades had morphed into what became known as the Black Guerrilla Family, which grew out of what they had referred to as the Rat Pack. And due to his charisma, his ability to understand and articulate the political relationship that Black people and other oppressed people of color, poor whites even, and that is recognizing the system of capitalism itself. And this is what they feared. And so Hannibal has not been spending time idly or letting time just go by. You know, he's been making the efforts to even organize, you know, some of the brothers. There was a incident, of course, we talked about with this young brother being brutalized, and this thing referred to as a lockdown, where there were numerous other POWs who were also beaten. And as a result of that, those brothers decided to take upon themselves to become some type of union entity and develop a sort of pact, if we will, amongst themselves, even to the point where they're able to communicate with each other's loved ones to give an update on, you know, their conditions. And so it's a number of things. We just wanted to sort of give a rundown on that. Recently, Hannibal's so-called cell was tossed. And of course, you know, that's slang, a language for a raid. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. And allegedly found a weapon, a prison weapon, if you will. And from that, he was given, thrown in the solitary confinement, I believe, for 160 days, if I'm correct. But in the process of that, due to us on the outside making some noise, you know, he was told in so many ways that, you know, he was becoming a pain in the ass. And so the different strategies, such as cutting his phone's communication off, at one point his mother went to visit him, and, you know, this this procedural thing, you know, to get in, you know. She had had a little moment, what have you, you know, trying to get in, and then they used that to create an excuse to deny her, to cut her visits off until further notice. And all these are strategies. All these is part of the political vendetta against Hannibal, who we believe trumped up murder charge in New York. We know that the pigs who had stopped them, you know, they were in the cab, you know, him and another person, and they had been stopped. And so we know these are personal matters here on the part of New York pigs, you know. But as I said, as a result of him being charged with possessing a device, he'd been given solitary confinement. And one thing leads to the next, and next thing you know, they had been, gathering the idea to move him again to another concentration camp. And this is what has been done. He's in now Malone, New York, which is not too familiar to most of us, compared to the name Sing Sing. But this is the latest war report dealing with Brother Hannibal, under whose government name of Justin Sarkozy is being held captive as a prisoner of war, a prisoner of conscience, a militant in his own right, as a result of the relationship, the irreconcilable relationship the black people have had with this government. And these are only natural responses, as history has clearly taught us. And, you know, I have this thing, you know, speaking with people, and, you know, it may trouble some, but the purpose, George Washington had become a militant against the King of England, and that has been perfectly all right with to his descendants today. And so the system of capitalism the way it spins itself because of the ambitions of the capitalists, then it naturally leads to an antagonism. It naturally leads to a relationship that becomes toxic. And so this is a natural response. There's nothing abnormal about Hannibal. He's not out of his mind. You know, he's not being some reckless or irresponsible troublemaker or what have you. A lot of black men in this country old enough to be his father who have acquiesced to the system, who have acquiesced to the state, who have chosen to bow down, who have chosen to not be men the way they would boss their women around, abuse their women psychologically and even physically, or abusing one another psychologically and even physically. And these are the type of black men who could never be respected in a society so brutal such as this one. No. And so these tactics, his form of receiving any type of monies, whether it's electronic money, you know, through the Cash App or the JPay, you know, this the thing that has become a phenomenon today, or an account. This has been cut off. This has been shut down, you know, as we speak. And so this country, this notion about some greatest document that has been written by the so-called founding fathers and all this constitutional rights that we're supposed to have, America trying to keep its track record clean in terms of the UN. And so therefore, giving the notion that America not only treats its citizens in a democratic way, even its prisoners. Its prisoners even have rights. And there's no more, no less than the bullshit that's written on paper. It reads well on paper. The reality is that it's a almost total contradiction, if not a total contradiction. You know, just a contradiction, just plain in general. You know, because if so, then these things that have been carried out against Hannibal would not be taking place. These so-called rights that he is supposed to actually have as an inmate in a correctional facility. That we know better than calling a correctional facility, and we refer to as incorrectional facilities. We know that the average POW cannot come out of there without being affected psychologically somehow, some kind of way, some, you know, shape or form. And this system could never be designed to galvanize and reform the average so-called prisoner. Now, there are some who have done these bids and may be able to articulate this better than myself, you know, but the type of understanding, the involvement would leave us to draw this conclusion. You know? And so that is the latest war report as far as our young brother Hannibal Goat. He's a warrior. was very brave, bold, and was such a young man. You know, still not in his 30s yet, you know. We love him, and we're with him, and we understand that we don't control these various forms of national media, the obvious, you know, the CNNs and the Foxes of the world. However, any type of form of communication that we can use to get out our story, we are always willing to do. We want to touch on another brother, and we've done it before, but we just wanted to come around again. And of course, you know, with the latest case involving him and what has been transpiring with him. And I also want to add, you know, in his case, there have been a number of things that have been in violation. An investigation. The district attorney, Hannibal's belongings and whatnot, had not still been released, his belongings. And they, there's some discrepancies there. District attorney, Eric Gonzalez, you know, as we were speaking, with Hannibal's mother, Sister Khadijah, and, you know, she was explaining that, you know, they had not released or turned over his personal belongings. And we don't believe that that's a coincidence. We just wanted to add that before we move on. In the case of what, you know, many of us in the, if not all of us, in the Black Power movement, the struggle, the militant movement, young brother known as Ozone, Thaw Wallace, you know, we've been charged with the murder of Pig, Jason Rayner, in 2021, in the summer, had been sitting in a apartment complex parking lot that he actually lived in, one of the units with the mother of his children. Now, we could never totally trust some report about there had been criminal activities and whatnot that had been going on in that area. And so, you know, this Pig just so happened to come up on Ozone sitting in his vehicle and whatnot. He had not broken any law at all, period. It is not a crime to sit in your vehicle, an apartment complex, you know, where you had been staying. And so this body cam video that they only give a quick flash of, and now strategically want to play or release the whole video of this so-called murder of Officer Raymond, who actually lived over 50 days later until he succumbed to his injury. And so Thaw had been wanted man had been found captured, that is, in Georgia, and extradited back to Florida, Daytona Beach area, where this incident had taken place. But if you look at the body cam video, it's inconclusive, you know, or at least the body cam video that I saw. So they're trying to construct the case against Ozone, so much so to the point that they're seeking the death penalty. And as a matter of fact, Officer Raynor, his cruiser, has been donated to a museum, as a matter of fact, because he's been declared as a hero. And so they're seeking the death penalty for Ozone. His trial date has been pushed back, court appearance for this jury selection to July the 31st of this year. And there's these ramifications that have taken place with Ozone's case. And of course, various things such as the GoFundMe page for Raynor, so much so to the point where the defense was requesting the names of all the persons who had contributed to this GoFundMe for a dead pig Raynor, and for strategical purposes. There's a thing for the motion filed a motion for discovery. In other words, the prosecutor has to turn over whatever the defense seeks that's in their possession. But that was turned loose. And what it boils down to in this case is sheer bullshit, is a sheer tactics of persuasion, coercion, of course, public persecution before even standing trial. And this is a tactic that the state, the police, those who are the spokespersons for the so-called police, the mayor, the governor, and even the president. And these terms, these words are carefully selected and carefully chosen to build this image in the head of the collective minds, or gullible minds even, of the so-called American public as a vicious killer. And there's a this thing referred to as three aggravators, you know, like aggravated assault, where certain terminologies are going to be sought to apply to Ozone, you know, at trial on the part of the prosecutor. And the defense, which appears to be very sharp, because there's some brothers who are railroaded by their own defense, their own legal counsel, where in this case, with Ozone, the three aggravators that they had approached the judge to strike out, this first three aggravators would be the description of as cold, calculated, and premeditated. Cold, calculated, and premeditated. Now, you look at this video that they claim released, the whole video, you see something different. Okay. And the second set would be such things as heinous, like a heinous crime, H-E-I-N-O-U-S, atrocious and cruel. That's the second set of three aggravators. And this is what the prosecution is going to try to do to convince whatever jury that they select who is referred to as a voir dire. Some of us may have been through this voir dire where we've been, you wake up one morning and you get your mail, and in your mail is this letter. It tells you you've been selected for jury duty. I've been through that process a time or two, and personally, on a personal level, had some choice words for everybody that was in the courtroom, including the judge. And I don't believe that they'll be sending me any mail anytime soon for the simple fact that I had placed the condition, the position of African people into a political context, and that the state is guilty and should be placed on trial for crimes against humanity against people of African descent, a still displaced nation of people of African descent, because there's a region, a place on the globe that is referred to as Africa. And these are some things that we're going to have to understand. So the strategy, or as a matter of fact, we can take the first three aggravators, cold, calculated, and premeditated, and apply that to the prosecutors who are going to try to select a jury pool in their favor. And it's a heck of a process if you know you experienced it to see it. And the whole way it's bullshit. And especially for a poor brother who doesn't have access to the so-called top-notch lawyers or attorneys. He's a sitting duck from the beginning, you see. But that is the going rate. This is what they're going to seek against Ozone. To try to paint Ozone as cold, calculated, and premeditated, as though it was premeditation, and this is why Pig Rayner is dead, or it was a heinous crime. His actions were atrocious, and he was absolutely cruel, and had no humanity at all. And if you look at the pig chief, I believe his name is Jakari Young. And if you go back and listen to his choice of words in the press conference, and you will see the same similar thing, where he is already conscious of the fact. And so all those terms, all those words were carefully constructed by him and carefully fed through the media to the general public, and specifically in that jurisdiction within the state of Florida. And so this is what Ozone will be facing in seeking the death penalty against him. And so those who know him personally as a whatever, son, nephew, cousin, brother, what have you, father, and so forth. That's the tale of the tape, you see. But this video, this body cam footage, they have to construct a scenario against Ozone. They have to construct one. And the state is always good at constructing cases against black men who don't lay down, black men who are not afraid to step forward and fight for the true liberation of black people in general. And so, of course, as I said earlier, due to the political relationship, which is one that is irreconcilable, we understand that the reactionary forces of this government is the predicate as to why these incidences take place. And to say all of that, we want to go back into the OGs who came before us. You know, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Imam Jameer Abdullah El-Amin, formerly known as A-Trap Brown, who had started off with the group known as SNCC, which started off as the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And having gone through its transformations, SNCC had become more radicalized, more militant due to certain persons or individuals that was part of SNCC. And A-Trap Brown was one of those, and the other was Stokely Carmichael, who had become known as Kwame Ture, and who had named himself after two African leaders, Kwame Nkrumah and Sekou Touré, who during the 50s and the 60s were involved in the liberation struggle continent. And they had become just as politicized, just as politically educated as George Jackson that we spoke of, Malcolm X, who, you know, influenced, who were influenced by those brothers on the continent. But SNCC had become more militant. And at some point, H.R.F. Brown had become the chairperson, and the first order of business was changing that nonviolent shit. And so they became known as a Student National Coordinating Committee. And from there, he had, merged into the Black Panther Party. Him and Stokely Carmichael for a brief stint. It is during that time that A-Trap Brown had really come into his own. You know, a lot of people had been so focused on, you know, Huey P. Newton. But A-Trap Brown was very vital in the movement. He had begun to understand such things as violence. He began to understand the state. And what do we mean by the state? The politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police. And so due to his understanding, he was able to articulate the picture, the reality that had been framed since the foundation of this country, the foundation, the establishment of this corporation, the American corporation. As a corporate entity with jurisdiction, and due to that, he had become, you know, a natural threat because he would, you know, he was able to get the people to understand what they were working with, that such things as sanctions or even politics themselves, yet place it in the context that sanctions and politics is just war without bloodshed, and that war, military war, was his bastard child. you know, so to speak. You know, and so understanding that he had taken violence and placed violence in the proper perspective, in a scientific manner, which therefore led him to say, due to the relationship in America's history of violence and the culture, that violence is as American as cherry pie. Whereas some in the baseball world have been known to say, baseball, blue skies, and apple pies. You know, and so it was due to that type of thinking that, you know, the reactionary forces on the part of the state had begun to target him of the kind of intelligence program. He'd been speaking around the country. He had made a reference to even Pig President Lyndon Baines Johnson, wife of so-called Lady Bird, at a press conference. And he was placing all these things in proper perspective because he had followed in the footsteps of Malcolm X. When Malcolm X had spoke about the case of the chickens coming home to roost, he was speaking the political climate that had been created, the atmosphere that had been fashioned from day one. Hindu people know it as karma. The Bible speaks of it in its own way, reap what you sow. The sayings of the father shall visit upon the children and whatnot, you know. But they could never corral A-Trap. He had wrote a book, named book called Die, Nigga Die, for anybody who's deaf to want to read it. And in that book, he clearly lays out the whole framework of American hypocrisy, as to why the people will rise because of the contradictions in the system of capitalism, and that black people would have to understand that there's no such thing as a little freedom. You have the free or you a slave. There's no such thing as a woman being a little pregnant. She pregnant or she not. These are natural laws. These are natural things. There's nothing abnormal about any of that. One that has to make up things in his own mind that's not reality. It is the reality itself. And the reality is the material conditions which lead to concrete realities. And so years later, coming out of the 60s, the 70s, Imam Jamil had transformed his spiritual self, his spiritual side, in more manner of a Muslim. He had become what some refer to as an Orthodox Muslim, and had ended up settling down in Georgia, near Atlanta. And he had never given up the work. He had transformed a whole community, which at that time was referred to as one of the worst neighborhoods in Georgia. Transformed that neighborhood. And it is because H.R.A.P. Brown's ability to transform the neighborhood, to transform the people, that the state was not, that did not sit well with the state. And we have to understand that just like, you know, in the so-called game, you know, some of these sayings about the things that you don't mess with a man's possession or whatnot, you know, a nigga will kill you over his woman, you know, some of these things about somebody's moving in on their turf, somebody's preventing, you know, money from being made, or, you know, with dudes, look, man, you know, you messing with my money, so to speak. Well, on the part of the state, we see it as the same, as a matter of fact, in a much more larger process. The dope game and whatnot. You know, his brothers used to say back in the 90s, 80s and the 90s, when they would talk about how these brothers are could be big time dope dealers and they don't own the planes to fly the shit in, the ships, you know, to roll it in through the water or in the water or what have you, you know, the cargo, you know, don't own the processing plants, you know, let alone the cellophane bag, you know, to put the crack rock and the, you know, the powder cocaine in. And so we know that somebody bigger than them was orchestrating that enterprise. It's an enterprise just like Walmart is an enterprise. McDonald's is an enterprise. Well, the dope trade is an enterprise, you see. And so what H-Rap was doing, he was messing with a larger entity's operation, because the goal and the purpose of the dope trade and all these other things is to keep the neighborhoods in static, to keep the neighborhoods destabilized. We're going to do a show on what destabilization is, but that was the whole point. And he was able to be the contradiction. He was able to be the opposing factor of actually cleaning up a neighborhood and transforming that neighborhood, as well as the Black Panther Party had developed the 10-point program, you know, community control and the temporary relief pending the revolutionary transformation of society and bringing about people's liberation, the overthrow of the fascist system, and instituting a true democracy where the power is in the hands of the people. Okay? And doing away with the exploitative system of capitalism, which not only exploits people in terms of their labor in being shortchanged in terms of wages, but at the same time, the humiliating factor is a number of things that it creates besides that, which leaves a domino effect. But it is due to his ability, even as an elder. And so around 2000, he had been stopped and accused of impersonating an officer, driving the stolen vehicle and whatnot. He had a badge, and as a matter of fact, I believe it was the city council or the mayor at that time had actually given him an honorary badge. And so, you know, they had given him, some charges, and therefore we had to appear in court. And so his not appearing in court, or the appearance of him not appearing in court, put out a warrant. And this is what has led to the current situation. And some so-called manhunt going to his place of residence, you know, to serve a warrant, all this type of stuff. He was no fool. He recognized what time it was. And he didn't flee on some manhunt, which would create the appearance of, you know, coming a certain time of the day when he actually could have been approached in broad daylight, because, you know, he was known to, you know, walk up and down the, you know, the street. You could see him in the daytime. You know, they could have went there and done it. But they chose to do that strategically because they had to create this, you know, this same image that they're going to try to create in the minds of the public against Ozone. You know, and this manhunt later leading to the shooting of two Atlanta police, and one actually survived the shooting. And so, it was bullshit from the beginning. To my understanding, a report, and you have to be real careful with some of these reports and whatnot, because there's a lot of misinformation that's out there. But this, in the description of the assailant, basically totally different from Imam Jamil's physique, that given the description of another color of eyes that Imam Jamil does not possess. We don't know if they didn't expect this one pig to survive or not. But this is the charge that he received, the shooting of two police officers, and received a life sentence. So he's still being held as political prisoner today. I was told recently, some months ago, one of comrades who has been part of the campaign to get him out, for him, become an ex-POW, his help, of course, and trying to, track some type of a deal with him, predicated some type of deal which would be the predicate of his release. And he flat out refused because he's innocent. You see, but the whole case is problematic from the beginning. It's problematic from the beginning. There's a actual, to my understanding, the actual shooter, has confessed that he was the one, that shot those two officers. I remember on one occasion, I don't know if he had been wounded or whatnot, and like I said, be very careful with some of these, these reports. There's a number of things that were going on out there, but that is the latest with him, as far as his case goes. With Mumia Abu-Jamal, who's a Black Panther leader, a member of the Black Panther Party, and in Philadelphia, and he's very articulate, very well politicized and educated. Who was convicted of the 1981 death of Pig Daniel Faulkner. This transpired as a result of a traffic stop involving Mumia's younger brother, William Cook. And a shootout had ensued, Pig Faulkner lost his life, and Mumia had been wounded. There's so much discrepancies, but this case is ridiculous. There are a lot of discovery that Mumia's attorneys had not been allowed access to, and for years had been not allowed access to. And he was later sentenced to death in 83. But due to international pressure, cases going around the world, there's various organizations that deal with political prisoners, human rights issues. As far as, as I mentioned earlier, the international laws, the UN prisoners' rights and whatnot, human rights violations and stuff. And so the sentence was reduced to life in 2011, being held, I believe, in the Hazleton, Pennsylvania concentration camp. But the 2018, they had voted in, I believe, a new district attorney, somewhere along those lines. But anyway, in 2019, they had turned over to Mamiya's legal counsel. It was a couple of boxes that had been labeled with his name on it. And this is the evidence that had been kept since the early 80s. And the crucial factors inside of that was two star witnesses. One a star witness who had been bribed, paid off for his testimony. And another one was a female. And she had been doing her own thing in the streets. But she kept getting popped, you know, every time, you know, she doing her little thing. And so she was facing so many charges, so many things she was doing. Then they approached her and would get her to be a witness. And they offered her leniency for her testimony. And so many things, like I said, that are so incongruent with Mumia shooting this officer. You see, as a matter of fact, the actual shooter has come forward, and he's come forward for years. He's come forward. I was informed myself that the actual shooter's life was in danger because he wanted to come forward and you know, say that Mumia is innocent. You see? And we don't need a rocket scientist to figure any of this out. They all have one thing in common. That is, they were former Black Panther Party members, you know, who stood up against the system. They were very effective. They developed the 10-point program, self-defense against police terror. They had sized up the system. They were politicizing the people. They were from the streets. They were in the community. They were very effective, so much so that they become targets of the counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO for short, under J. Edgar Hoover. And Black Panther Party had been declared pretty much the most dangerous organization, the most dangerous threat, you know, to the internal security of this government. And so, therefore, it had to be neutralized. And this is the terminology that J. Edgar Hoover would use. And so they set out using all types of tactics, sky to the limit. And the one thing that had been very effective was setting up Panther members on trumped up murder charges. Another brother who's rarely mentioned, or whose name hasn't, you know, become a, you know, is just widely, you know, heard of, you know, another brother named Veronza Bowers, who was convicted in 1973 of a murder of a U.S. park ranger by the name of Kenneth Patrick. He's a former Black Panther Party member who was being held in Atlanta concentration camp. And their sole basis, or their the bedrock upon which their conviction stood, was the testimony of two informants, you know, one of whom received $10,000, you see. And this is the type of atrocities that black people have been subjected to in one factor. Those who, again, you know, stood up as men and they wanted to do something about the treatment, the conditions of their people, economically, politically, socially, and whatnot. I've known over the years to see when we talk about different organizations that had come through the 60s or what have you, the difference between the Black Panther Party and another organization, the way they got treated. I mean, there was no NAACP political prisons. You know, there's no Congress of Racial Equality political prisons. You know, there's no Southern Christian Leadership political prison. There's no Urban League political prison. You know, there's Black Panther Party political prison, formerly Black Liberation Army political prisons. Several as of late, you know, over recent years with been so-called released after spending damn near half a century in the so-called prison system, in the prison industrial complex, which is no more, no less than another tactic in order to control black men. Prison system as a control unit to contain, to break the militants, you know, to remove them from in the midst of the masses of the people, lest they become that black messiah that J. Edgar Hoover spoke of in his counterintelligence communications to the different field officers around the country, you know, one who can stir the people, one who can electrify the people, you know, and particularly the youth, you know, that would bring about the overthrow of this evil system. And they had given, you know, some examples of those they felt that fit that profile. They said that Stokely Carmichael was one. Malcolm X was the martyr of the movement. Elijah Hammett had the charisma, but that he had, you know, he was old, you know. And then they spoke about Martin Luther King. But you can say they had an asterisk by his name because they had said when it came to him, he could be one, provided that he stopped subscribing to white liberal views, you know. And that he was the only one that they had put a, you know, a different comment behind, you know. None of the others, you know, subscribed to it. You know, they were militants, you know, they, you know, revolutionary in their makeup, in their mental capacity, their attitude, because of the natural responses that had come from the conditions, the relationship that black people had been subjected to on the hills of physical slavery, you know. We have to keep struggling. Any one of us who are on the front lines or who have reached a stage of understanding and could be next. You know, it is our reality. And we cannot forget those who have sacrificed their lives and sacrificed themselves, you know, for our liberation. You know, some of us A lot of us, you know, just want to live for, you know, living for the weekend. Those of us who are in our 30s or whatnot, even 40, you know, your grandparents, people sacrificed for your grandparents. You know, people got their ass beat, you know, for your grandparents, you know, hit with a high power water hose, you know, beat with a nightstick, you know, chased out of the country, thrown in prison on trumped up murder charge or just trumped up charges, period. You know, and of course assassinated for your grandparents, for your grandparents' civil rights. And some of us are old enough, you know, where it was our parents. And so therefore, we was a generation that came behind our parents. And my generation personally hasn't done shit. You know? And so people talk about what's a shame. It's a shame how these young brothers is out on the street and they're killing one another and stuff like that. Well, it's a shame that my generation ain't did shit, dropped the ball. And a lot of us dropped the ball on purpose. But like Chairman Fred taught me, I am a revolutionary. And the People's Political Party is a revolutionary organization. And we love our people. People's Political Party in defense of the people. In Defense of the People Radio brought to you tonight. Stay tuned next week for another show. 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And we say black power to black people specifically because black people need power. And we say all power to the people in general because the power should be in the hands of the people. There's more power in the people than there are people in power. And so on that note, we out of here.
Thanks.
Yo, look at Grinch with some stupid bell-bottom pants, man.
Your shoes, man. They make you look like a fool.
Word!
While you dive, churches, I'll knock you through Sunday and be waiting for you on Monday. You're too young to have seen the sights of Esther Mammy and Pappy about Dolomite.
Planet Earth was my place of birth, born to be the sole controller of the universe. The size is part of the map. I hit first any environment. I can adapt when it gets worse. The rough gets going, the going gets rough. When I start blowing the mic, mic bust. The next day to shake from the power I generate. People in Cali used to think it was earthquakes. Cause times is hard on the boulevard. So I fold guard and never get scarred. I'm scarred, but it seems like I'm locked in hell. Looking over the edge, but the R never fell. A trip to slip, cause my knife got gripped. Stand on my own 2 feet and come equipped. Any stage I'm seen on, a mic I fiend on. I stand alone and need nothing to lean on. Going for self with a long way to go. So much to say, but I still flow slow. I come correct and I won't look back. Cause it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Even the
nobody smiling.
Relax in my room and escape from New York and return through the wound of the world as a thought. Thinking how hard it was to be born. Me being queen with no physical form. Playing yourself with one destination to reach the best part of life's creation. 9 months later, a job well done. Make way, cause here I come. Since I made it this far, I can't stop now. There's a will and a way, and I got the know-how to be all I can be and more, and see all there is to see before. I'm called to go back to the essence. It's a lot to learn, so I study my lessons. I thought the ghetto was the worst that can happen to me. I'm glad I listened when my father was rapping to me. Cause back in the days, they lived in caves. Exiled from the original man and strayed away. Now that's what I call hard times. I'd rather be here to exercise the mind. Then I take the thought around the world twice. From knowledge to going back to knowledge for sight. Across the desert, that's hot as the Arabian. But they couldn't cave me in, cause I'm the Asian. Reaching for the city of Mecca, visit Medina. Visions of Nefertiti, then I seen her. Mind keeps traveling, I'll be back after. I stop and think about the brothers and sisters in Africa.